The point is that there's some games you don't get to play unless you're all in. So I think you might as well play the most magnificent game you can.
Snapped A-Rod, looking downfield, being flushed. Rolling left, winds up, rainbows it high and deep. It is caught for a touchdown! Yes! A miracle!
Yes!
Catch!
Yes! Can you believe it?
Unbelievable!
Believe it!
You walk up there and say, no play, everybody. Don't jump. There's no play. Just look at the body language.
Penny rolling out, throws it! Hell! And the Chiefs are heading to the AFC Championship game. Only Andy Reid gets it shotgun on fourth and inch! And throws the ball!
What a fucking wacky week one we had. Pat, can you believe some of the craziness, man? Some of the epic duds. And then some surprise studs that we'll talk about in this week's episode, man. But Pat, what's your first thoughts on the whole entire weekend, man? All rolled up in one. Week one, football is here. And a lot of people got scared the shit out of with certain scores and not scores. And other people were just shocked. It's chaos. What do you think, Pat?
All described as a roller coaster ride from getting on the excitement to the top to the drops, the loops, ups, downs, left, rights, and then it's all over.
Yeah. I mean, we've been talking about this for weeks, months, anticipation. Thursday was an amazing, epic game. Friday was an amazing, epic game. And then Sunday came and it was, what the hell is going on with these teams and certain players? But we'll talk about that here in a minute, but what's up, everyone? Thank you for joining All In Fantasy Football. I'm your host, Matt Dennis. You can follow me at Fantasy Matt, EFN. As always, with my brother, Pat Wendelken. You can follow him at CityStars136. Like and subscribe. Follow us. You know, if you have any questions too, you can shoot us on social. But for this week's episode, like I said, we're week one. Week one is in the books, man. You know, it takes forever to get here, and it gets here, and then it goes by super quick, and you have some questionable things that happen, and it starts to make you wonder, am I really that bad at drafting? We'll go through a bunch of that today. First, Pat will take us through the injuries and news, man. I'm not going to interrupt you. We've got a lot on the plate, a lot of the schedule, Pat, so I'm not going to interrupt you at all, man. You just take it and rip it and take us through the news and the injuries.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it. Like always, we'll start right off in L.A., Puka Nacua knee sprain. Expected to be out about a month, so you figure about 4 weeks. That's a big loss. A lot of fantasy impact as we'll continue on later on. There's a couple people that are going to be in the cards for now. The other one, everyone should know by now, Jordan Love's knee, out about 3 to 6 week range they're projecting right now. Josh Allen, on his one, his touchdown run, kind of like jumped in the air, landed on his non-throwing hand. Will play Thursday against the Dolphins, so there's no stress or any issues right there. So a lot of people can take a deep breath and take a sigh. Good old Dallas can't get out of the news one way or another. So one, I'll take the negative. Jake Ferguson has a sprained medial collateral ligament in his knee, and he's expected MCL. To miss time. Yeah. I just gave it a fancy word, which is cool.
I know. I like it, man. You got to give it the full thing. Full. I like it.
My shout out to my dad for that. So he's expected to miss time. They haven't given an exact time frame, so you won't be starting him anytime soon from what I know. And we'll continue on with the tight end theme. Next up is David Njoku, high ankle sprain, expected to miss several games. So they didn't give us an exact time frame. I'm sure later this week we'll find out more. That sucks, you know, especially in that, you know, he's got high hopes. They all do. And then, boom. Shout out to Matt's boy, Rome Odunze. It's week to week with an MCL sprain. I know you're not too happy about that, Matt. That's not always a good thing.
There's a lot of MCL sprains this past week. Yeah.
Yeah, so that was big. We'll shoot it back just to Sunday night. CMC, last minute scratch, lingering calf issue is officially week to week. You know, like it just.
That cost me a matchup. I know I said I was going to interrupt you, but I just got to say that cost me a matchup.
And it's funny that made me win a matchup. So, I know. I mean, you know, issues with that. So, you know, CMC is going to have this lingering issue throughout the season. They were saying, you know, that this is like an ongoing thing that could be off and on, and there's another word for it. I apologize for you. I don't have it right now, but it's called a special thing, and he's week to week, but you know, that also has other fantasy replications and possibility, some great upside for some other people. Last but not least, we'll end on the Cowboy note for all you people that love the Cowboys like always. Dak clearly got paid $240 million 4 years, $60 million a year, $230 million in the bag, guaranteed. And that's your news and injuries.
Yeah, before we...
just it's a whole banger.
The last two I do really want to address, so honestly, I'll make this quick. CMC, nobody that I have had listened to, nobody that I read, there's no word, there's obviously an injury report on him, but nobody that I had seen, unless you saw differently, Pat, that said that it could have potentially held him out of the game or that he was like doubtful to that extent. And he was called out the day of, so you couldn't really do anything. So that sucks for a lot of people because then a lot of people got caught on that. I specifically did one out of my many leagues. I've got 25 leagues. So one of them, I couldn't switch him out. I have him in two other leagues, but they're best ball. So he automatically got switched out. So that was fine. But yeah, sucks for everybody who had that happen. Dak.
Oh, my bad. It's called Achilles tendonitis. That's what it was. I apologize. That's what I was meaning to tell you. That's what he has right now. So that can linger off and on throughout the whole year. This is not going away anytime soon. He could play through it, but he's going to have this nagging all year round.
Well, that's
unless he rests some.
That's massive.
Yeah, his
Achilles hurts. But it's also the Achilles where it's located.
Oh,
it has to do with like pushing off. That's your Achilles. Yeah, your torque.
No,
yeah.
Jump, stop, move, break. You know what I mean? Everything. So, CMC 100% has to be looked week to week, day to day, because, you know, you took him either one or two. Let's be really honest. So,
yeah, I mean, again, some people drafted a couple of days before kickoff on Thursday, and this was not that big of a news by then. So, yeah, they definitely hit that very well, which sucks already. I got caught in it. Dak, $260 million for somebody who, or sorry, $240 million, $60 million a year for somebody who has never even gotten to the NFC Championship game. I mean, highest paid NFL player or highest paid player in NFL history. Congrats to him. At least that kind of solves a lot of questions about where he'll be next year. So good for him. Get the bag. Jerry paid up. Jerry's World can't escape it.
So yeah, Michael Parsons going to be next. If he sees all these paychecks, he's going to be like, his hands are going to be wide open.
He's like yo, where's my truck? Come on, bro. Yeah,
Brink's truck needs to back up and drop another bag. Jerry's going to be dropping dead soon with all that money he just let go, bro. He can't.
Well, looks like he's about to fall over and keel over. He looks like he's got about 3 or 4 years left, Jerry does. I mean, not to kind of rail on an old man, but he looks like he's trying to buy his championship now before, you know, he says his goodbyes. But before, like I said, We'll hit on studs, and we're calling them studs and turds for Shit Nation. So South Harmon Institute of Technology. Initially we're going to call it studs and duds, but I just decided studs and turds because you know what? Some of these guys like really just stunk up the joint. So we're going to hit those here in a minute, and then we'll take through some pickups. I know there's some a couple of other episodes too, which will people talk about pickups and waiver wire pickups and free agencies. So we don't want to belabor too much on it. Plus this will come out on Wednesday, and some people might have already had, you know, waiver transitions or waiver wire run Wednesday morning. But we'll definitely hit on a couple to keep your eye on. But before we do, Pat, I want to ask you, what was like, just forget about the studs and turds, what was your biggest surprise? If you had to just put your finger on biggest surprise over the weekend, that was just like what the hell just happened?
New England beating the Bengals.
Yes.
Was like, look, I am a homer. We all know that I'm a huge Cincinnati Bengals fan.
Huge Cincinnati fan. Yes, sir.
But just I watched every play of that game, and right off the rip, I'm like, "What is?
How much agony were you in watching that,
dude? I ate wings. I had indigestion the whole fucking game. I'm being really.
Did you start doing shots of tequila?
I was just no shots, cups. I was just drinking the whole time. There was no need for a shot at that point. But I'm watching this game, and I'm like, "You're making like." The most foolish plays. No one can make tackles. Like, you know, Jacoby Brissett looks like Tom Brady. I mean, it was just like, who? You know, Stevenson's cutting through every lane, running down the field. I mean, it was just like, where
like
am
JV
I?
Team.
I'm telling you, man, it was just like this lack of practice, the lack of things in preseason, Jamar not being there. I know I get it, but there's a lot of stuff, man.
You're going to hit on one thing that I do want to hit on before we get into really the duds or the turds part of it. My biggest surprise definitely was the Bengals. It was also Atlanta. Like, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
What we really expected, but Kirk Cousins can barely move. They also got beat. I mean, how many people had either Cincinnati or Atlanta as their survivor pick?
I got them both. I got hate texts from me. You got me knocked out. I lost
from
my
who?
Guillotine league. Oh, my friends. Are you kidding me? My bets are all lost. Yeah. So I got a million parlays blown out because of me. I was like, thanks. Then guillotine leagues. My friends are like, yeah, I'm out because the Burrow and this and that. I'm like, great. Then everyone's in their survivor pools. They're like, see ya. They lost like 40. They said on the TV, it was like 47% of people lost because of
that. Dude, for the people that are in, you got to be loving the fact that you did not pick one of those teams. And this is why I always pick, because I'm in two survivors. One is like a $200 survivor, so it's expensive.
Yeah.
And then the other one's like a $50 survivor. So it's not too bad, but I always pick different ones because in case one goes down, I'm like, well, at least the other one, hopefully you get a 50-50 chance that the other will make it. Both got knocked out. I'm like, what the hell, dude? I mean, we'll talk about some of this stuff when we get into the turds, but yeah, I just wanted to, I did want to highlight that, you know, just like the biggest overall surprise, because we'll go to individual accolades and studs and turds on an individual basic. And also, we hit a couple of, I think one defense here. But I did want to highlight, you know, just like overall surprises that we had. And one thing that I will say, for everybody panicking, because like I said, I'm in 25 leagues. I'm panicking for certain players that like
my
I thought
God.
Were going to be
25
that were gonna be,
leagues
that were going to be amazing, bro. I thought they were going to be amazing, and here I am. I look like an idiot for drafting them. And these are mostly dynasty. It's only like four redrafts, but still, like guillotine leagues and all this other stuff, right? The one thing that I'll say, and you hit on it, Pat, and I do want to highlight it, and I think it's worth talking about. The hardest thing in football is offensive timing, and offensive timing within passing. If you look at like a lot of the studs that we're going to talk about, there's a lot of running backs that are surprises. There are some wide receivers that kind of we didn't really expect, but we'll you know kind of talk through why. But when you look at teams, you know, like you talked to, you know, if you go to Jamar Chase, and if you talk about the Cincinnati Bengals, it's all about timing, man. Like even if you guys have played with Taylor before, it's like if somebody's slightly slower in the route, you know, and they're not up to full speed, you know, quarterbacks anticipate them to be 2 yards farther in front of where they are. Or a quarterback, even for the quarterback, you know, sexing somebody in one of our leagues, and she was kind of already given up. It was actually, I think it was the redraft or the draft that we did when we were in Canton, Ohio, and I think it was Jessica maybe was talking about like how she's already given up her season, and
yeah,
it's like
I saw that.
Even a quarterback, it's all about your release point, it's all about the velocity, it's all about the angle of the throw, and granted, you can do that, you know, practice, you can do that in reps, just sitting there throwing it back and forth. But until you're in game time speed and it's everything's, you know, you got rushers coming in your face and all that, like that's all part of timing. And I just want to do highlight that like a lot of the issues that we saw this weekend were mostly passing on offense that I could see. There's a couple of other things that were outliers, but tight end duds all across the format, all the tight end studs that were supposed to be studs, top five, they all fell on their faces. Passing.
Listen,
that's all passing. Then you get like these elite wide receivers that we'll talk about. Pat, you got a couple that we're going to talk about here.
Oh yeah,
but that's passing. I mean, that's all passing and timing. So I think you'll see a little bit of a blip in week two, and I think by week three, everything will be kind of wheels up and kind of back to where they should be. So I just want to highlight that because people don't talk about it enough in fantasy, and especially the analysts that I listen to. There's not really a lot that kind of like highlight, you know, game time reps. And if you think about that, and think about how offenses run, it makes more sense that passing can be a struggle in week one because there are no live reps. People don't do, you know, preseason games anymore. Like nobody shows up for preseason. They'll play like half, you know, maybe a quarter if that, or maybe two.
Or not even a quarter, though. They'll just play one possession and call it a day.
Against a secondary defense that's not even doing anything.
Dude, Matt, and I'll say this straight up. And we have this conversation with my buddies, and we always say it's like the season doesn't begin until week three or four. That's just really how you got to look at it. The first 2-3 weeks is just a lot of organization gathering together. It's like, it's like your first preseason games are the first 3 games of the regular season. Like they just don't want to practice,
for sure,
bro. And I guarantee you, if they gave real full reps, dude, it would look a lot cleaner and less sloppier on weeks 1, 2, and 3. So. It is what it is, though. What am I? You got to deal with it every year.
100%. But I just want to highlight that because I think every year, everybody hits a panic button and starts freaking out. I have people already hitting me up trying to get players that, you know, underachieved, trying to take them off me for cheap, you know, and that's just kind of the thing we want to talk about. So,
yeah.
I just want to highlight that, man. But yeah. Anyways, we got a great show ahead of us, man. We got studs and turds, so we're going to kick it off.
Yes,
I'm going to throw it to you first, Pat. This is going to be a combo, man. We're just going to hit this back and forth. I want it to be just an ebb and flow. So rip it off. Start away.
All right, so who's
your first stone? First stud, I almost called it stone.
So first one is, you know, a lot of people didn't start this gentleman, but they could have. Mr. Derek Carr, 82% completed passes, 200 yards, 3 touchdowns. That was an absolute shellacking, bro. They absolutely destroyed him. So I was like, watching that, I was at the bar, watched a bunch of games going, and Carr looked phenomenal. It looked like real classic Carr. I thought like Michael Thomas was out there looking amazing with Drew Brees, feeling like that reminiscent kind of feeling. Yeah. He was just slinging the ball, and I'm like, Kamara looked great. The whole team looks like the defense is running all cylinders, and I'm like,
yeah, I mean,
what year am I in?
That's what I was going to say. When I talk about throwback, I mean, you got, you know, Alvin Kamara, you know, on the same team. People are talking about, you know, he's going to be the lead back. He did have some split reps with Jamal Williams, but 15 carries, 83 yards, 1 touchdown for old man Alvin Kamara, dude. I mean, that's pretty awesome. You're along with 17. Up. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty good. And then on top of that, he had 5 targets, 5 receptions for 27 yards. I mean, that's a pretty epic outing for a running back, you know, in fantasy football, especially the 5 receptions. I mean, I know he always gets receptions, but the fact that he got that, I think is pretty stellar. And like you said, you know, there's talks that, you know, Derek Carr was going to be benched and replaced this year. And he looked like he had something to prove, and he showed up and they dominated, dude, 47-10 over Carolina. I mean, they put the beat down on Carolina. I mean, it wasn't even close. I mean, you know, we can kind of jump ahead to one of those since we're on this team anyway, or on this game anyways. Bryce Young, dude. I mean, dude, 13 of 30. Let me just repeat that again. 13 of fucking 30, dude. An NFL quarterback, 13 of 30.
Not even close, dude. It was.
I mean, that's not even a 50%. I mean, 161 yards, average of 5.4 a yard, 2 interceptions, no touchdowns, sacked 4 times, QBR rating of 10. 10. Fucking 10. Nah,
it was embarrassing. It's not even like a real, it's like a JV football team playing out there. I mean, Matt, you could say that the whole team was just struggling. The whole team. There was,
the two running back,
Miles Sanders and
Chuba Hubbard, yeah,
together combined for 36 yards on the ground.
That,
I mean, that's
bro, pathetic. And that was one of my initial callouts is Chuba Hubbard. I'm like, dude, he's gonna get the rock, you know, until they, you know, get the rookie going and he comes back and he's healthy. But damn, like. Either New Orleans defense just shut it right down their throat, or Carolina doesn't want to. They're going to have the number one pick again next year, man. Can you imagine this shit? Like 2 years in a row earned. Now, I know the Bears had it 2 years in a row, but they had it 2 years in a row. One was earned, one was not earned. One was Carolina, obviously. So if they get it again next year, Bryce Young is done. They're going to draft a quarterback and move on. Like they're not going to dick around for a third year. I mean, we've talked about this a couple of times, dude, but that's like – the biggest and dumbest trade ever to get Bryce Young when they could have had CJ Stroud. I mean, wow. People look like idiots, man. GMs don't always get it right. So,
hey, it is what it is, man. What do you got, Matt? Yeah. You're up.
This is my boy. So I'm going to jump to tight end. You know, we kind of dogged on tight ends. There's a lot of tight ends and actually a tight end within the same team that didn't do well. Mark Andrews did not do well at all. He was double covered for most of the game. But Isaiah... motherfucking likely, dude. 9 receptions, 111 yards, only 1 touchdown. But if he was wearing white cleats, he might have got a second touchdown. I mean, there's a lot of talk. There's a black cleats on the white chalk line. You can easily see that his toe touched before his foot touched, which is no go. So, dude, he almost won them the game. I mean, think about that. It would have been 2 touchdowns, 10 receptions, and probably 100. I don't know how much the passing yards was for that missed touchdown, but. Let's just call it
20 to 30, we'll say it was in that range.
Yeah. So just say he could have had 10 receptions, 130, and 2 touchdowns.
That's ridiculous.
From his backup tight end, dude. I mean, that is Isaiah Likely coming out of Coastal Carolina. For those of you that don't know, either in redraft, I mean, I know you guys are part of you know, South Harmon. You guys should all be aware. Dude, he was a beast coming out of college, man. Super athletic, big guy. Like, for as big as he is, he was shockingly athletic in the combine. And... Mm-hmm. You know, it looks like as Mark Andrews ages out, this may be the replacement. And obviously it shows that when Mark Andrews can't get his share, they're going to go right to Isaiah Likely. So he balled out,
100%.
And you guys should be running to the waiver wire in every single solitary league, even Dynasty. There's a chance he might have been dropped at some point.
Or well, he's the number one this week for sure.
Oh, I mean, for sure. We'll talk. I don't want to steal the thunder too much, but we can kind of go. Like I said, I don't want to just go strictly by the sheet. But yeah, Isaiah Likely with my dog. Like that dude balled out, man. So props to Isaiah Likely.
Well, Matt, let's just go to the turd on the other end of the stick, which would be Mark Andrews, bro.
Yeah. So roll the numbers.
Two receptions, 4 yards, 2 targets. So that's it. There's nothing else to say. I mean, that's not Mark Andrews that we've known at all. I don't think he's ever had that bad of a game. I don't think ever.
Not when healthy that I'm aware of. I mean, I have had him in the league for 4 years now. In my first dynasty league, I drafted him 4 years ago. This is our fourth year. And no, I don't remember any of that. You know who also had a bad stick on the tight ends, who's another turd, is Kelsey. Travis Kelsey. Oh, yeah. And in that same game, it was like both of them. So there must have been defensive scheming to not allow them to get any yards or targets. So Kelsey had 4 targets, 3 receptions, 34 yards. That is not a Kelsey expectation. That is a basic tight end expectation. You don't draft these guys and redraft in the second and third round. If you draft them the first, I don't know what the hell you're doing. But you don't do that and then expect to get that type of performance. So two major, major turds right there, man. So crazy.
Not feeling that.
Let's make some fun, man. Bring some smile back.
All right. So this one, like I said, it's not a major stud, but it's something that we've been talking about in a lot of people in a lot of leagues, especially in redraft where we're going to go. Zach Moss,
clearly,
I'll be honest with you, bro. Big on Chase Brown bandwagon. This is
killing
that.
Me. So am I. Damn it.
Zach Moss handled 33 out of 51 snaps. So he had over half. He had 9 carries, 44 yards, and a touchdown, 2 receptions, 4 targets for 17 yards. So clearly, Zach Moss is holding the backfield. A lot of people have, Chase Brown as, high hopes that he's going to be taken over, but clearly Zach Moss has the start.
Not yet.
And he has the
Zach Moss has proved that he can handle it. I mean, that right there in itself. I mean, he got 3 times out of workload and carries than Chase Brown did. 3 times, 9 versus 3.
Yeah. Agreed, man. So listen, he's got the nod. You got to start him. You can't really go against the numbers and what they're doing.
You were watching the game. How did he look?
I mean, overly thrilled. I mean, he had a couple breakout things. It was nice to see him catch out of the backfield. He had those two decent, it was only 2 receptions for 17 yards, but it was better because there's not that much offense. It was a very plain, vanilla offensive game. And I got to be honest with you, it's just like, everything goes from Burrow to this. The timing was off. I'm not going to get into a rant, but out of all the things there, Zach Moss was like more of a stud. And we have to highlight that because this has been a question all year. So Zach,
he had a long 16,
number one. So
he had a long run of 16 yards. Yep. I mean, by far from a running back perspective. I mean, and you wonder, like, we can kind of move on from the Cincinnati offense, but with T. Higgins being out, you wonder, and then Chase obviously being on kind of a, and I don't know how much of a limit or, snap count or whatever the hell you're going to call it he was on, but I imagine that probably threw Burrow off a lot because he's missing his two biggest studs. And then the rest is kind of like, then the defense can hone in on just covering the running back. So,
Well, look, I'll tell you real quick. We have Mike Gesicki, new to the team, right? Burton didn't get to play. He didn't start. He had no time on the field. T. Higgins is out. Tyler Boyd is gone. And then Jamar was barely there.
Yeah, Burton was active. They didn't even have him in the game.
He didn't see one snap. But I'm just saying, so what is he supposed to do? And then Zach Moss is brand new. So, and then his offensive line is relatively new too. So, I mean, there's a lot of molding has to go on. Like I said, and this is where we go to preseason again. So, I don't know. Yep. All right, Matt, give me another positive. What do you got for me?
Ah, man, let's keep it flowing. I'm going to, throw it to somebody who, this dude gets a lot of shade, proved last year that he's a better quarterback than a lot of people had kind of really given him credit for. I don't blame everybody for dogging him, but, Tom Brady leaves, Baker Mayfield comes in, everybody's like, oh, there goes the Tampa Bay Buccaneers' chance of, doing anything because it's Baker Mayfield, and what are they going to do? It's just a one-stop quarterback, and they're going to move on and draft another quarterback. Well, he balled out last year. Got a contract out of that, and congratulations to him. And then everybody dogged the shit out of him during the offseason, and we're like, I'd rather have – he's, quarterback 16, quarterback 20, whatever. Well, guess what? He showed up and he balled out. He got a 24 out of 30 passing with 289 yards and 4 passing touchdowns. Oh, yeah. Yeah, dude. Baker Mayfield, man. I mean, him and Mike Evans, they've got a love fest going on. Old man Mike Evans.
And Godwin. He got a little taste, bro. They were sharing the ball equally on that one. So,
good for him, man. You know, and again, like, I've got him in some leagues too. And, you know, you don't think anything of him. You think, you know, it's kind of like the Kirk Cousins situation. You know, whenever he just always dogged in, but he always performed. And he's found his mojo in this offense. And is able to perform and actually, you know, have good, I mean, damn, dude, that's really good numbers. I think he ended up being the quarterback number two or three. I'll have to pull it up here in a second. But for the whole entire week, I mean, dude, that's balling. You know, that's pretty good. And then he had three runs, which, you know, whatever, for 21 yards. But, yeah, you go Baker, man. I was never a fan when he came out of college. I didn't like his cockiness. It seems like he's been humbled quite a bit over the past couple of years. And I think through him being humbled, I think it's allowed him to take teaching and to kind of take, you know, offensive guidance from the specialists. And he's running with it, man. So props to him. Sure. Tampa Bay offense looks legit. And actually, you know, there's somebody else here that I want to talk about really quickly who's a rookie. But I want to hit on him really quickly. Rashad White. Well, I'm going to talk about Dud real quick. Rashad White, if you don't want me, I'm just going to jump right in, man. So we need to do a little bit of respect for this Tampa Bay offense. But a turd, man, Rashad White, 15 carries, 31 yards. Dude, that's an average of 2.1. yard a carry. 2.1 yards a carry. That's trash, dude. That's like, you're a backup at that point. He's supposed to be the lead running back. And then guess what? The rookie comes in from Oregon, Bucky Irvin. 9 carries, 62 yards, with a long run of 31.
There you go.
Yeah, so craziness there. So I just want to give him a little bit of props, Bucky Irvin. Why don't we mix it up a little bit, man? I'm gonna give you
a turd.
That's what I was gonna say. We gotta go back to turd. Go ahead.
Yeah, Kirko chains, bro. We'll go right to it. We're not even gonna mess around. He's definitely not rocking any chains, and they're definitely not giving him one for this performance, bro. He was just another game was horrendous. 16 of 26, 115, one touchdown, 2 interceptions, 2 sacks. It was crazy.
Yeah,
and I watched that game because I was next to the Bengals game, and I'm like, I'm like, that's a little crazy, I said.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean.
And not for nothing, Matt, the whole team hurt because of that. I mean, dude, Ray McLeod was the highest player at a receiving with 52 yards at 4 receptions. That was his height.
It's like, what? Like, I mean, Kyle Pitts had a touchdown. I'll take that. I mean, at least Kyle Pitts scored a touchdown.
Yeah,
we will take that. Third. But I mean, no. But I mean, like, if it's
Drake, Drake London, 2 receptions, 15 yards. Darnell Mooney, one reception, 15 yards. Bijan Robinson had more than almost all 5 receptions for 43 yards. I mean, come on, dude. It was embarrassing, man. And he just looked like complete shit.
He looked like he couldn't move in the backfield, man. He looked like he was so out of sync.
Do you think he's still feeling it from that? Do you think he still has question after the injury? Like, is there a lot of mental you think would go into what's going on that's playing onto the field?
I know just in hearing a lot of the podcasts over the years and a lot of doctors actually talking about this as well, not just like podcasters and analysts, but ACL specifically, I know we'll get to Achilles here in a minute, but players who come off of ACL injuries usually takes them a year to start trusting their knee again because it's a fear of like it happened once. Is it going to happen again? So there's this fear of like putting all your weight, your power into it, the torque that it requires to like get your speed and power back. So that's why you'll see a lot of times you'll see ramp up speed and then you'll see like, you know, the running backs have issues and take about a year to come back. Achilles is up until recently, and you and I have talked about this, you know, off pod and kind of just like in the background, you know, for a while there was all ACLs. You're seeing like ACL blowouts like left and right. Everybody had an ACL injury for some reason. Now it seems like the Achilles is like the new ACL where it's starting to pop up. It used to be very uncommon to get an Achilles tear. And if it did, it usually ended a career, right? And now you're starting to see, you know, last year, like you said, two very distinct, very older quarterbacks, both of them had Achilles tears with Aaron Rodgers and obviously with Kirk Cousins. But I would imagine, I mean, it's like anything, you know, it's like you gotta then trust your body. And it's like, you know, I don't know how much people have like reached back and felt, you know, the Achilles in the back of their leg, but it's like, it's a very distinct, you know, tendon and muscle. And it's like, you know, I can imagine it's gotta be some type of mental hurdle that you gotta get over where you gotta be like, all right, we're good. I can trust it. but it's not going to be the first game back. So
yeah, you know, like you don't want to think like you're going to step back and it pops, or I move the wrong way. Just that's it. Like,
yeah.
Listen, I completely get it. I mean, I'm sure Aaron Rodgers felt the same way with him in his situation playing. The mental hurdle, I think, is just as much as a physical hurdle for some of these guys. So I give it to him. And he's a turd this week, but he might have a bounce back game. I don't expect him to have a horrible year, bro.
No. And that's kind of like we talked about at the beginning. That's why I wanted to start there, Pat, because I think that that's the biggest thing to highlight is like we're going to dog over some people that deserve to be called turds because they fucked up, man. They had horrible games. You know, it wasn't worth being in our lineups. And there's going to be some guys who are great that like by next week or the week after, they're going to be on somebody's bench again or dropped again because they're not going to be, you know, doing what they were doing this week. So 100%. Definitely something to highlight. Week one is not week four, week five. Things will definitely change. But yeah, I think there's got to be a mental hurdle that goes, especially at that age, where you're just like one more. And plus, he's got Michael Penix. And this is also the other question I was going to throw at you, Pat, is do you think they drafted Michael Penix knowing that it was worse with Kirk Cousins than they anticipated after they signed him? That was the initial conversation that people were kind of posing, or would Kirk Cousins be ready for week one? And after seeing that horrific game, maybe I mean, this is just pure speculation, but did Atlanta maybe know or at least have an inkling that like, hey, this may be an issue this year. We need to get insurance. And because they're paying him so much money, you draft a rookie quarterback that you're not paying. And he basically had two elite quarterbacks for the price of one.
Yeah, I do. I think if they took out a policy, like they're like, screw it. I mean, people are questioning it. They're like, listen, we paid a lot of money in this guy. But that's their fault also. You're the one that gave them this monster bag. Now you got to deal with it. But they're like, you know what? Screw it. If we're invested somehow, some way, and we have something that we think with a great team, we're not going to lose it. So let's get Penix as a backup. Have him in the wings just in case. I'll tell you, I will say this. I think if he has another two bad games, you're going to see him sooner than later. I can't see them going more than three games with a bad season going.
You are 1,000%. You're not on the same page. Like, I think by week four, I think if he has a dud by after week four, I think if they're 1-3 and there's been very little life in the offense and it looks as bad as it did this week, they will yank him. They're not going to wait. Yeah. Like their window is short. Oh, yeah. They're going to have to start paying some of these rookies that they drafted in the first round 2, 3, 4 years ago. They're going to start paying them pretty soon. So those contracts are going to be due. They can't wait around and let Kirk Cousins and fuck it up with his chains. You know, so they'll pull him eventually. But yeah, definitely keep an eye on it. I think week two will be a big calling card for them. So
yeah, man.
Where else are we going? You want me to go? Are you going?
I'll
you
go give you another one. Yeah, let's go. We'll give you the positive, bro. I'm gonna move a little. We'll make everyone happy.
I like this like bad. I like the good mojo, bad mojo. I like kind of mixing it up. So at least you get a nice a little bit of yin and yang there, right?
So let's go with a guy that might not have this all the time, but he had it this time. Jameson Williams, 5 receptions for 121 and a touchdown.
J-Mo.
He really looked phenomenal, and I'll just touch on it too. Ahmad St. Brown.
I was going to say, he looked phenomenal.
He's a turd phenomenal this week, because he will not be a turd next week. I'm pretty sure of that. But so there's your hot and cold. I mean, he was just a pick of the litter this week. Jameson was hot, dude. He was the target. But also, you know, St. Brown gets double teamed. You know what I mean? These people will benefit from, you know, hey, he's the one, I'll take the two. And then some people feed off of that and they'll take it. Even LaPorta didn't have that solid, crazy of a game. So they're like, you know what? When you have so many good mouths to feed, someone's going to eat. It just happened to be him this week, you know?
Dude, the coaching staff, though, in the offseason were appraising Jameson Williams for his work ethic. They said he came into camp a lot more dedicated, a lot more, he was earning what they were giving him in training camp versus like, you know, a year or so ago. And plus, if you think about it, he came in injured his rookie year off a torn ACL out of Alabama. So that was like pretty much shot. They put him in the last two games or three games of his rookie year, had a couple of explosive plays, but that's about it. Then last year, he gets dinged for doing something stupid like gambling on games. And got caught for it and got suspended. Yep. Remember that shit? So like, this is really his first offseason with the team that has been fully intact, where he's been able to, we talk about this. We talked about the beginning of the podcast. You can't put enough onus on having somebody available for the team and getting there and being with the team and kind of getting that chemistry together and building that chemistry. So he had all offseason. He was there during all training camp. He was there in all the mini camps and all that other stuff. Played a couple of preseason games. And dude, he balled out, man. Balled out.
He looked great.
At the detriment, like you said, to St. Brown, which sucks if you're playing St. Brown and you drafted him like you did so high, which everybody did. You know, it's a shame. And obviously, every week's not going to be like that. St. Brown's an elite talent. He will bounce back. But you hit on this as well. Another turn, man. Sammy Laporta, man. Supposed to be the tight end one for pretty much everybody, either him or Kelsey.
Oh, yeah.
Both of them suck, dude. I'm telling you, the top five drafted tight ends all suck, dude. They all sucked. One difference was there's another one coming, which we'll get to. But I do want to hit on real quick. You know, we're kind of bouncing back and forth, but same game, same team. Yep. I want to hit on David Montgomery, man. 17 carries, 91 yards. So almost hit 100, man. Almost got the century mark.
Yeah.
One touchdown. Long of 21. Jahmyr Gibbs, who knows? Like, I know he's coming off the injury. They said he was going to be 100% healthy by week one. Doesn't look like he was 100% healthy. He had 11 carries, 40 yards, a touchdown. So he gave you some good points there. But David Montgomery, there's talks about Jahmyr Gibbs taking over the backfield this year. He's proven, hell no, dude. I'm here to say I'm part of this backfield and I can handle my own workload. So props to David Montgomery, man.
For sure. I loved it. I started both in one of my leagues. I started
on the same team or different teams?
Yeah. Oh, no, on the same team.
Yeah. I started both. Hell
yeah. I said, screw it. I'm going to run it this week. I said, and it paid off. I got the win. I mean, they were equal. It wasn't anything too crazy. I got a little more from, you know, Monty, especially with that late touchdown to, you know, seal the game. But I'll take it.
Yeah.
You know, that game was great, though. I enjoyed it. I mean, I really did.
I did a tandem like that, too, but it did not work out as well. I did the Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk tandem. And Deebo showed up. Ayuk, not so much.
Well, again, no practice, no training.
Dude, I'm telling you, bro.
It all goes right back to where it is. It's a fact.
I feel like It happens every year, bro, and I think we always forget about it. I think, or like, oh, he's Ayuk. He's been in the team. He'll be good. Chase, he's fine, even though he just practiced twice.
Doesn't matter.
But doesn't matter, dude. Like, you need the reps, period. We talked about that a little bit, but I don't think we highlighted it enough. And we kind of, like, only tamper down slightly when we should probably tamper down drastically. But
yeah, so let's keep the flow in the same game. Cooper Kupp, 14 receptions, 110, one touchdown. There's your stud.
But it goes on the Puka Nacua. I mean,
Puka goes down.
Also heard. Yep.
So, you know, he's going to be the ring bearer, and he's going to take over. I mean, do that. But look. You know, Cooper dropped in the draft stock too.
Oh, he did.
He went down a couple spots, and I'm like, now look at him. He's back to like looking like the triple, the triple crown right there type feel.
No, 100%. And there's the talks. I mean, go back to the offseason again. There was talks of coming out of the Rams that like he was back. He looked more explosive than he did last year. Cooper Kupp, this is. It looked like he was 2 years ago. Like there was a lot of that kind of rumblings that was, and I'll be honest, I didn't believe it. You know, he's 2 years older. So it's kind of like, yeah, of course he looks healthy. He's, hasn't played a game yet. You know, let's see how he looks when he plays a game. But he's obviously proven, man. He's the fucking great white hope, man. I mean, Cooper Kupp, keep it rolling, bro. I mean, balled out, and then had two carries as well. A couple end arounds, pitches. So, I mean, yeah, dude, he's great. Great, man.
Keep that roll. Hopefully he continues it because he's got the lead. He's got the lead there now with Puka being out about 4 weeks. So
yeah,
that's what's going to happen. There's going to be some other people that you could keep an eye on, but we'll get to that later.
Hell yeah. I want to hit on a couple of rookies, man. I mean,
let's go.
We forget about this too. You know, we think rookies, because they're drafted really high, they're going to come in and be studs, like right off the rip, right? They're going to be, the best thing since whatever. And that was proven wrong in a couple of cases. I mean, I'll hit on a couple, man. Quarterback position, Caleb Williams did not look good. I watched that game. I'm a Bears fan, diehard Bears fan.
Yeah. I know that hurt.
Yeah, I mean, and even watching the game, I know people can box score. I watched every single play in that game. Not only was he missing, timing was off on a couple. I mean, he could have got a deep touchdown to not Romo Dienze, but oh my gosh, blanking.
DJ Moore?
No.
Keenan Allen.
Keenan, thank you. I don't know why I just completely brain farted on that one. Keenan Allen was wide open, streaking down left. That was like probably a 40-yard pass. And he overthrew him by like 5 or 6 yards. It would have been a touchdown. Keenan Allen also dropped a touchdown on the goal line. It was a great out pass from Caleb Williams. He was out to he just kind of went like a just straight outpost, hit him right in the hands. And this is reliable Keenan Allen's, dropped it. Otherwise, it was catch in the hands and a step in and touchdown. So could have been much different for Caleb. But the one thing that does scare me a lot as a fan, and also I do want to highlight this as an analyst, he had at least six balls batted down for the line of scrimmage. Like, oof, straight up batted down. A couple that were knocked up in the air. One, he threw one, and this is not a batted ball, but he threw one. It nailed off the back of a defender's helmet. So the back of his helmet went up in the air 15 feet, and then Romo Odunze caught it midair, like leaped up 5 feet to catch it, and then he fumbled, and then an offensive lineman picked it up afterwards. So it was like the weirdest. If you haven't Googled it, Google that play. It's like one of the weirdest, most random plays. It went up so high. The football went so high up in the air that the camera couldn't even catch it. It went above where the camera scope was. So it basically just went out of screen, and then you just see Romo Odunze just jump up and catch it. He takes like three steps, then gets tackled, then he fumbles as he gets tackled, and then the lineman just came out of nowhere and dove on it, dude. It was like one of those like weird, wacky plays that like clowns do. Just like, what the hell is that? Even the analysts were like, what did we just see? Like, what? I've never seen a play like that. Like, they talked about it for like 10 minutes. It was like pretty hilarious.
That's great.
But another one, I do want to hit on one more real quick, another rookie, which I'm still in this thunder, I'm sorry, but it's got to be said.
Do it.
Marvin Harrison Jr., big ass dude.
Gross, dude.
One reception, 4 yards. That's not a mistake. I did not say 14. I did not say 40. I said four. Yep. 4 yards. Wow, Pat.
Yeah, but he, you know, it's funny. If you saw the highlights, he was open a few times. He could have.
I heard. I didn't watch jumping them all. Jacks.
I saw him. And I'm like, very sloppy on there. I mean, I'm going to give Kyler Murray a big no-no on that too, because he missed the ball, bro. He was wide open. I mean, Matt, you could have hit him. Anyone could hit him.
I heard in a couple of things that I listened to that like he was literally standing there like looking and like waving. Like you said, he like kind of waving his hands like, I'm open. And instead of looking at him, he looked at another. I think he looked at Trey McBride or somebody. But only three targets.
The
man.
Wrong person, man. Sad.
Only three targets.
I was upset seeing that.
That's not good, man. So I just want to hit on that because, again, rookies, you know, we talk about this again. Like, these are guys getting used to NFL speed. Correct. NFL speed is different than the preseason. I know a lot of these guys played in the preseason. Well, guess what? They're half-assed in the preseason. Nobody wants to get hurt in the preseason. So they're not running full speed. They're kind of like doing whatever the hell they need to do. It's very vanilla. It's very easy. They go in for a series or two, and then they pull them out, and that's it. Well, playing a whole game is much different. So, rookies, man. What do you got?
So, I got someone that we've talked about him in the past, but he actually made a dent in this game, and I'm going Tank Bigsby.
I like that, man.
So he, I don't think people are even paying attention to this one as much as they should.
No, they're not. Actually, they're not.
Tank Bigsby had equal amount of carries as Travis Etienne. They both had 12. He just capitalized differently than, you know, others. But Tank Bigsby had 73 yards on 12 carries, makes about 6 yards per carry. Etienne had 12 carries for 44 yards, and he just had the touchdown, which saved his ass. Because if he didn't have that, he would have been an ultra dud. But, yeah, man, no, it's being divided heavily, and that ETN
that's 50-50.
A big hit right there. And I was looking at that, I'm like, I don't think people realize that, you know, this guy's drafted in the second round. Tank Bigsby is not even drafted at all, so he's on your waiver wire. That is, you know, I know we're stealing thunder for later, but that he'll come up again, and that's one person that is could be a potential real stud, I think. And yeah, that could be a carry split back committee.
100%, and honestly, like, it could be one of those things where they, you know, they've kind of talked about this. I heard a little bit about this in the preseason, but I didn't know how, you know, some of the preseason stuff, you don't really know like what to kind of feed into and like what's real and what's just kind of smoke. But they talked about like wanting to save ATN for the playoff push. And they used him so much last year where he was basically beat up by the end of the season.
Yeah, and he was. To your point,
Pat, they're probably realizing that. And they're like, we can't give him 80% of the runs anymore. Like, we need to split them up. Maybe not 50-50 every game, but at least it's going to be a split, 60-40, 50-50, whatever that's going to be. So it's not going to be just ATN's backfield anymore. It sucks if you drafted him thinking he's going to be this elite
that
running
big
back.
Number one, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this elite stud that, like, you know, you don't get that really anymore. The true workhorses, there's only a few left in the NFL. And, you know, that's what he did last year. And, you know, it didn't pan out. So that sucks, man. So, sucks for that,
man. Sucks for that, but there's a positive that comes out of it. You know, I'm gonna steal one more from you. And I was excited. Yeah. I saw this guy in the highlights too. Kenneth Walker, bro. 20 carries, 103, ooh, one touchdown, yeah, dude. Ooh, he was, yeah, a big, he was a big reason why they won. And I, you know, I mean,
103 yards, dude. 20 fucking carries. Him, man. 20 fucking carries.
He was,
dude.
He was the bell cow. Bell
That's
cow.
Unheard of nowadays, man. 20 bell carries. Cow.
Well, that's unheard of. No, there was one other person that had one. I know. So you could take him next. But I was really happy to see that, bro. Great stock. You know, people were drafting later in the rounds, and you know, that's one that paid dividends on the first week. Hopefully can continue it and see where that leads to, bro. Because if you have a great running back like that, that means, you know, DK, JSN, and Lockett are going to open up more and more now that they can see that. And if Geno can start slinging the ball, it should be a pretty nice, well-rounded group, you know?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to actually hit a wide receiver that's not on our list. I'm gonna deviate here for a second.
All right. I love it.
Send it. Oh, it's going to be sent, dude. And it's going to be an apology sent. There's going to be an I'm sorry. Matt says I'm sorry on top of it. Because
go ahead.
I didn't value this guy as high up. He had a really bad year last year in this offense, okay, in a very explosive offense. As a wide receiver, too, he almost ended up being like a wide receiver 4 by the time the season was over. I think it was wide receiver 3, back end of wide receiver 3. Maybe high-end wide receiver 4. But Jalen Waddle. Dude.
Hey.
Waddle show. And I even talked about this when we talked about redraft. And I mean, there's even in redraft, like, you know, people were looking at him, you know, early in the drafts. And I was like, maybe 2 rounds later, I'll take him. And he was always gone because, like, people valued him. Like, oh, he's in the offense. You know, yeah, he was hurt last year. It wasn't really talked about a lot, but he was hurt last year, on and off hurt. Five targets, 5 receptions, 109 yards, did not get in the end zone, which is really, I mean, even without that, that's 15, almost 16 points right there for somebody who didn't even score. If he scores, you're talking over 20 points, 22 points. So props to Jalen Waddle. Props to anybody that drafted him. It's a big old sent letter of my apologies, and next time I'll do better. So there's that. I know he's a good wide receiver, dude. My question has always been, and I just wanted to clarify this. I've always thought he's an elite wide receiver. My question is, can Tua support 2 wide receivers, or is he mostly looking at 1? Last year, he mostly looked at Tyreek, and that's where most of the performance came from. So it's more of that versus the talent that Waddle has. Waddle's got some phenomenal talent, so I will never question that. It was just more about Tua and what he can handle and what he can sustain. So
that's crazy, dude. So you could do another one, bro. I'm with it, bro. Send it, bro.
Yeah, yeah. I'll do Jordan Mason. That's the other guy you're going to talk about. 28 carries.
You have it.
I mean, CMC gone. Everybody pretty much had Jordan Mason, you know, or at least, you know, with the talk of this week or leading up to this week, there's so many injuries already in the San Francisco backfield. I feel like they're always injury prone in that backfield. But Jordan Mason was a name. He did not disappoint. 28 carries, 147 yards, 1 touchdown.
CMC who? It's like,
balled
what? Where was he? They didn't even miss him, bro.
And Jordan Mason, I can guarantee you, after that game, he's like, yo, where's my money now? Come on, boys. Yeah. Pay me my
shit. He's like, yo, I'm going to be here all year, baby. We can do this all year round.
He's like, he's got an Achilles thing. Let's go. I'm going to earn my money.
Man, I love that. That was great. Can I since we're in a good mood, let's go into Jake Moody. And no one talks about kickers, right?
Yeah, kickers are important. Kickers are a thing, man. They're important, brother.
Yo, this motherfucker dropped 26 points in my league because I boost up for a longer one. I do it on purpose. So if you hit like a 50-yarder, I bump you up. Like, you deserve it. But if you miss them, you get taxed too. Yeah. Moody was 6 for 6.
You got to pay the tax, man.
2 50-plus yarders, 2 in the 40s, 1 in the 30s, and 1 in the 20s plus 2 PATs. In my league, that gave you 26 points. That was better than some wide receivers, running backs, and quarterbacks. Bro. So 26 points, I don't care what anyone says, to undervalue some of the kickers. Well, in my league, I make it a little more fun than usual, but he's still, even in regular leagues, he was up there, dude. It was almost like a 20-point game.
Bro, so here's the deal, Pat. That 26 points, if the other team that you're playing against had Jamar Chase, Burrow, and we'll talk about a couple of, I don't want to give some of the other ones away here. Let's say St. Brown. So
St. Brown and Kincaid. Go ahead.
And Kincaid. So all 4 of those, and your kicker outscored them plus. Not even just them, plus. Like, there's still a gap of points there. Like, what the fuck? But yeah, dude. I mean
you want to throw a wild one too? Might as well put the Bears defense with the highest too. So you had the Bears defense and there, and it would have been badass. You got a Moody in the Bears defense and scored like 40 something points, 50 points.
What did I say? What did I say this whole offseason? What did I say?
Bears defense will be a top five defense this year.
Fuck yeah. Put it in the books. I called it. If you don't believe it, go check Elite Fantasy Nation podcast. You can look at it. There's wax on it. There's definitely tape
on
it, man.
We got receipts.
There's a receipt. Whatever you want to call it, man. It is there. You just got to look it up. I called it top five defense. And, dude, they had an epic. I don't know if you did you give the numbers or can I give the numbers?
Oh, I'll give it to you right now. You can keep going. I'll rip the numbers up for you, bro. I'm saying give me one sec, bro. Matt, go ahead. Run it.
Again, watching this game. They're getting smoked, man. They got first couple of series, they were dominant against Tennessee. And then all of a sudden, Tennessee was running over them. Had an 8-minute drive. 8-minute drive, dude. Like, how often is that? And I'm like, uh-oh, here goes the defense.
26 points they dropped yesterday.
They're looking a little suspect. 26 points, which Matt's is, didn't you say Moody got 26 points?
Moody's had 26 too.
So that's 52 points for those two. Kicking or defense, which everybody says, get the kicker out of here. Get the defense out of here. Suck it. And if you're not listening to Elite Fantasy Nation, you need to start doing that. I'm telling you right now, man, we called it. But anyways, all right. So they're getting smoked, and then out of nowhere, right? So it's third quarter. Anyways, they got a block kick, return for a touchdown. So it was a punt that they blocked for a touchdown, roll it back in for a touchdown, special teams touchdown right there. That's one plus the kick, plus the fumble. So that's 8 points right there. Then they got two interceptions. And another fumble from, Will Levis, who looks like he shouldn't be playing football in the NFL. So three turnovers from the quarterback, plus one from special teams. Dude, that's four turnovers and two, and they scored another pick six. So they had two touchdowns and four turnovers, dude. I mean, called
it. And three sacks to give you that, too.
Sacks. I forgot about the sacks.
Come on, man. That counts.
Thank you. That does count, man. So my Bears defense, smoking fools. Let's go.
That was a nice little combination right there, bro. So, last but not least on the positives, we'll end on like two positive notes. We'll give two more, and then the rest are going to be turds, and we'll go quick.
We'll go quick on the turds. We'll just flash to those guys.
So, we talked about earlier, Alvin Kamara, you kind of briefly touched on him. You could run the numbers, Matt, because this was your guy, because I brought up Derek Carr, and you brought up Kamara looking like an old man stud. So, you could tell him.
15 carries, 83 yards, one touchdown, five catches on five targets, 27 yards. Boom. Over Love 100 it. Yards total and touchdown.
Can't beat it.
Can't beat it. Can
I mean, it would look like I told
that's
you.
21, that's 20, was, 21 points, dude. 21 points. And then if you get carries plus per carries, that's over 21 points. It's probably like 25, 30.
I mean, look at I told you the Saints looked like it was like some retro team that came out of nowhere. I'm like, who is on the field? But
they're like, who day?
Great. Who day is right. Not or who? Let's say it's who dat or who dat. I don't know who it is.
No, it's who dat. It's who dat.
Who
day is Cincinnati. Yeah.
So,
all right, let's hit the turds real quick. Go ahead.
No, we got one more. I want one more positive, then we're out of here. Josh Allen, 18 for 23, 232, two touchdowns, nine carries, 39 yards, two touchdowns, one lost fumble. Dude,
he did not look good in the first half, though. He did not look good in the first half.
He stepped up. He was the game winner, basically. Ain't winning.
He's like, we're sucking right now, so guess what? I'm gonna put on the cape, and we're gonna save this shit. We got this.
Yeah. Dude.
All right. Let's rip out these turds real quick, man.
Ugh,
Michael
gross,
Pittman.
Bro.
We talked about him a second ago. Four pass receptions. For 31 yards. Horrible for Michael Pittman. Especially, gross. I mean, that offense, man. We talked about it as well. Anthony Richardson, man. He got a lot of points. We didn't talk about him as a positive.
Dude, I'm telling you, he ain't doing that again.
From a passing perspective, he was 9 of 19. Only threw the ball 19 times.
Yeah,
but only. That's my thing. Two touchdowns, one interception. He had one bomb, basically.
For 212. And the bomb was to Alec Pierce. I saw it. That was it. It was one big, big bomb that really racked up his points and his tab. So, whatever.
All right, who else did we miss on this list?
So,
why don't you talk about your... Yeah, go ahead.
Before I go to them. I want to go with the other bad boy, Deshaun Watson, 24 for 45, 169, a touchdown, two interceptions, one fumble, sacked six times, dude. The Cowboys had their way with this gentleman.
That is the worst contract in NFL history.
And he's getting sued again. He's got another suit.
I saw that, dude.
I'm like, bro, that might be the worst contract in history next to Russell Wilson.
Oh, that's not even a question. That's not even a question. His is fully guaranteed.
Yeah,
Russell's wasn't fully guaranteed. I think it was mostly guaranteed, but this is 100% fully guaranteed. 100%.
Yeah, it's the worst. And Baker Mayfield's just laughing in Tampa. He's like, I don't care. I would never go back, bro. Never.
Yeah. All right, we're going to shorten this list because I do want to hit on the hot wire. We're already at an hour.
Yeah, go.
So let's just shorten this list. We'll do a couple more.
Run it through. Go quick. Bang them out.
I'll let you finish on your – we kind of hit on the Cincinnati, but we'll let you finish on that. So we're going to talk about the Miami backfield. We talked about how amazing they were earlier, dude. Raheem Mostert, everybody is starting him. I started him a whole bunch of leagues, 6 carries, 9 yards. So, yeah, Devon Achane must have got a whole bunch. Nope. 10 carries, 24 yards. He did get one touchdown. But both of those yardage and both those breakdowns, it's 2.4 yards per carry for Achane and a third of a yard, not even.
Mostert was 1.5.
1.3. It was 1.5. Yeah. My math is off a little.
So you're ready for this? And both didn't practice today either. They're both hurt, just so you know.
Well, you know who's going to play then? You know who's going to play then?
Right.
Oh, yeah. All right, man.
Jeff Wilson and Wright, but it's okay.
Yeah. Why don't you hit your team, and then we'll kind of move on.
Listen, I want to do one other one real quick, too, because I love it. Evan Engram, I know one reception for 5 yards, bro. Dude, that sucked. Evan Engram had a lot of hype coming into, like, a top it was like a bad tight end week. Let's be really honest. All the
We started there.
Yeah.
Is like, what the hell is going on with the tight ends?
Yeah, I agree. So, Joe Burrow, we'll end it quick. I don't even want to do it. 21 for 29 looked great, but it was only 164 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. It was just the most vanilla, not throwing the ball down the field. And then the Burrow effect is Jamar Chase, 6 receptions, 62 yards. But it just was a sloppy, disgusting game, like, all around, bro. It
sounded
just
like
really,
it, dude. I mean,
really, really, really bad. Okay, let me rip this guy, too, because I saw this game, too. Oh, you let me have him. Danny, I know you're going to do that. Right on fucking cue. 22 out of 42, right?
Did he give him a
186, 2 interceptions. One was a pick six.
That's what I was going to say. Yep. One was a pick six.
Sacked 5 times and not a touchdown. Oh, my God. I loved it. I was clapping every time the Vikings scored. I was clapping at the bar, laughing at every Giant fan crying, dude. It was great.
Dude, and do you remember he had his last preseason game? He had 2 picks and one was a pick six. Do you remember that?
Yeah. It was the same. Yeah, it looked like preseason. They didn't skip a beat. They kept going from preseason. He's gone. Dable will be gone. Joe Sheen will be gone. That whole place is going to, I'm telling you now.
They're going to blow it up.
It's gone, dude. There's no way. They're going to be a top three pick. They'll be right up there with the Panthers. I'm telling you right now.
That's going to be the over-under is who's going to get the first pick. Is it going to be the New York Giants or is it going to be the Carolina Panthers? Who do you think? Who do you think is going to get the first pick?
Me personally, probably the Giants. I really do. They have a harder schedule. Yeah.
Okay. They're playing the Cowboys. They're playing Washington.
They play the AFC North. Bro, it's a disgusting schedule, bro. They have no shot in hell. I'm telling you right now.
What do you think they're going to do? When do you think they'll bench him?
Danny DeVito's going to be in there. I call him Danny DeVito every time. I'm like, yo, just throw him in there, dude. They're like, what? Like,
they're like, who's Danny DeVito? He's an actor. You're like, no, that's the fucking point. Like,
yeah,
he looks like a fucking
DeVito. That's the same
thing.
It's a joke, bro. I'm like, there's no way, you know, I don't know. Anyway, so that was it. Last but not least, this guy screwed me. Zamir White, 13 carries, 44 yards.
Oh, he screwed me too.
I expect
more.
And,
what a bastard.
That's a fucking boatload of turds. That was
Vegas, the Raiders, man, that whole entire, their offense, like,
oh, God, don't even
not looking good. 10 points. Gardner Minshew did not look. He looked like Gardner Minshew of old. I can chuck that ball and see what the hell happens. Good luck.
Yeah.
But yeah. And that's the thing, too. Zamir White got more than half the carries. Like, he got 13 out of 21 carries or 22 carries, my bad. So he got 13 out of 22 carries. So he got the workload. They just suck.
Dude, if you think about it, too, like, I didn't even put them in there, but like Devonta Adams. 5 receptions for 59 yards. Brock Bowers, 6 receptions for 58 yards. Like, what?
I need to clip that, dude. We're going to clip that. I got a soundbar that I'm going to hook up, and we're going to clip that. And every time I'm just going to keep hitting, what? Like, and then you have to clip something that I do.
Yeah, I love it.
But, dude, yeah, the offense just looks like dog trash.
Trash.
All right, let's end it on good notes. All right, so hit
the
hot
wire,
baby. Oh, the phone's ringing, bro. You got to pick it up. You got to hit the hot wire. What's the hot wire?
Wire's hot.
Who
are
we in? Who are we calling?
All in.
Who are we calling? Go ahead, man. Go ahead. Who are we calling? Who are we calling on the hot wire?
First one up, you're gonna call. we're going to look at it like this. Dude, so Puka's out. You got to look at DeMarcus Robinson and Tyler Johnson for the Rams because Cooper Kupp will be the number one, and they need someone on the other side. And those are going to be your like next two. They're going to be right in there filling in there between the slot and the number two. That's big. Yeah. I was reading big on that today. So got to keep an eye on those two. Might not be your number one pick, but he should be one of those two. Your waiver wire. Matt, who do you got? Pick one.
Tyler Johnson looked like he was legit when Puka went out. He was basically the one who immediately replaced them.
Yep.
I'm going to go this guy. I doubted as well. See, this is the thing, man. Pat and I can admit when we made mistakes and our calls were off. J.K. Dobbins. I thought he was.
Oh, boy.
I thought he was done, man. 135 yards, a touchdown. He was like the number one on 10 carries. He was like pretty much the number one running back in all of fantasy this week. Crushed it.
JK, and he was a stud. We'll give him that. 100% stud.
JK, I bow down to you. I apologize. I will forever believe in J.K. Dobbins now. So pick up J.K. Dobbins. Call that guy. Call him. Hotwire. Call J.K. Dobbins.
All right. Go ahead. Here's your next one. If you don't have him and you're going to need him now, Jordan Mason, 147, a touchdown, 28 carries. If CMC is going to be lingering and he is not on a lot of people's teams.
How much, Pat, would you drop down on Mason?
A lot. I think he's gonna be used a lot. Like depending what your you know fab is, whatever your fab dollars are, maybe you want to at least put at least 30-40%. Try to get him.
I like it. That's where I would have hit too. 30
a
40,
really solid
30-40%. Like, he proved it.
I mean, you need him. You fucking need him, dude. Go ahead, give me the next hot one.
All right, we're gonna go Antoine Pierce, also known as Alec Pierce is his real name, but Antoine Pierce. Three catches, 125 yards, and a touchdown. Now, here's the thing. Was that fluky? Yes. Did he have a bomb that was his touchdown? I think it was like a 50 or 60 yard bomb. Yes. Is he going to repeat that every year? Probably not. Or every week, every year. Every week, probably not. But what it does show is you got Anthony Richardson building rapport with somebody in that offense that's a wide receiver. And that connection is what you need to watch out for. And how much is it looking at Alec Pierce? Now, not like Jordan Mason. We're not going to blow all of our wad. You're not going to shoot it all off on Alec Pierce. But
no.
If you want to throw 10-15% on somebody who could potentially be the number one in that offense, maybe it's not Michael Pittman. Maybe it is Alec Pierce. Maybe he likes Alec Pierce better before he can do. But Alec Pierce has some speed. He's a quick, agile guy, as you can see from the bomb that he got. So Alec Pierce, definitely worth the waiver look, man, for sure.
Yeah, I like it. I'm going to go, fuck it. I'm going to take the Bears defense, bro. If you need a defense and you saw something different that we've been, if you want to listen to us here at All
Ball
In
out.
On
Ball
South
out.
Hartman, I'm shouting out to Maddie, ATM, McNutted, dude. Y'all got to pay attention to your defenses too, bro. Cody,
fizzle,
all you, bro. Like,
fizzle.
Yeah, all you, bro, I'm telling you, defenses matter, bro. Like, that's why I'm
saying
defense matter, bro. Why not, bro? Bears defense. I think he's worth the pickup, bro. After what we've been preaching for a while, and they showed it this past weekend.
Oh, dude.
Why not? I'm not saying it's every weekend, but they're solid. It's a solid defense to rely on. Dude, and Matt puts them at a top five.
I 100%, you can mark it down. You can call me on it if I'm wrong, but I will not be wrong. Top five defense. So put it in the books, man. Put it on the Love board. It. Put it on the board.
Matt,
I'm going to go.
Throw another hot take. Bro,
I'm going to go a couple quarterbacks here. So calling these guys on the hot wire. If your quarterback sucks or got injured, you know, you got Love, whoever drafted him early in redraft. Well, if you need a quarterback, guess what? Call up Baker Mayfield. Call up Derek Carr's agent. Throw some fab on them. See if you can get them on your squad. But Derek Carr, as we talked about earlier, it's old man people, but who cares? They score you points. And Baker, I'm real motherfucking Mayfield.
Go. Dude, he's got the targets to hit. So, and he proved it. He's like, and he distributed equally between Godwin and Evans.
Dude,
and they both got in the zone, dude. It was great.
Dude, Baker's had the talent around him. It was the question was, was he going to repeat from last year or was last year a fluke? And he's proven that last year is not a fluke, and he's still here. So he is Mayfield. He is Baker. Grab his ass. Pat, what else you got?
Last but not least, and I'm going back on the goddamn defensive train. I looked it up because I found it. Take the Chargers defense, bro. 10 points allowed this past weekend against one of their, you know, the boys over there. Even though it's not a hard team playing the Raiders, they play the Panthers. And as we said, the Panthers might potentially be, you know, buying for that number one spot already. So you need it, and you can just, even if you don't have to use fab money, you want to flip out your defenses like people do. I see it. Some people take that last
waiver wire defenses. Waiver wire defenses, man. They're big. They can win you.
Co-sign that. Co-sign the Chargers for next week. 100%. You can follow the Panthers and Giants, whoever they play every week. I guarantee that's, you're going to be freaking winning it.
You just hit on it. You just hit on it. And that's exactly what I was going to say. So I picked up the Minnesota Vikings this week against the Giants. And they balled out, dude. I have to pull it up to see exactly what they got, man. But they crushed it. You talked about the horrible stats that Danny Douchebag Dimes put up. And it was all because of the Minnesota defense. So always follow the Giants. Always look at the shittiest teams and who the defenses that they're playing against. For this week, it's the Commanders. The Commanders defense is probably, you know, upper tier. They're probably not elite, you know, but it might be worth a pickup just to kind of take a swing on it. Danny Dimes sucks, dude. So you're going to go against those offenses and roll the dice. It's worth it.
Listen, let me tell you something right now, man. When you have those type of situations, bro, I mean, you can't go against your gut with certain things. Like, look, the Saints, 17 points versus Carolina, just so you know. Like, that's solid, bro. Like, you might not get the Bears 26, but that's why I said following the Chargers kind of feel, why not? And like Matt was saying, 25 points for the Vikings against the Giants, just so everybody knows. So
I was just looking that up to you, man. 25 points, like I said.
Keep your eyes open.
Eyes open, find those shitty teams, and you reap the rewards if you're playing defenses against them. So
yeah.
Pat, man, we did a long one, but it's worth it, dude. We ripped through it pretty quickly, destroyed it. Called out the turds that we don't want to talk about, but we will talk about them and called out everything else, man. So you got anything else, man, before we send out?
No, man. Like, subscribe, check out All In, check out everyone in South Harmon, check them everyone out. They're all viable, legit. I told you, awesome. This is like the Avengers, bro. You can't go wrong with anyone you look at and listen to on this team. So
South Harmon, ride or die. South Harmon, ride or die, man. Follow everybody on South Harmon on all formats, either through audio, YouTube, audio or YouTube. Follow Fizz of Fridays, all the great content creators that we got here in South Harmon. And until next time, peace. We're out.
Peace.